This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
But don't you see? You never needed anything else.
The weird was within you the whole time.
Good morning, Night Vale.
Good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening. Whatever time it is, I just want to hope that you're having a good one. My name is Megan Christine Bashwinner. That is my Christian name. On the Welcome to Night Vale podcast, I play the character Deborah, the sentient patch of haze.
And I am Symphony Nicole Sanders, and I play, that is my not-so-Christian name, my Baptist name, I guess, and I play Tamika Flynn, your favorite charter.
And I'm Hal Scott Lublin. My Hebrew name is Chanoch. That is true. And I play Steve Carlsberg. And this is Good Morning, Night Vale, where three of the people who just introduced themselves to you, who are from Welcome to Night Vale, listen to and discuss episodes of Welcome to Night Vale. Just so that you know, the current date is the year of your Lord, 2020, the month of August, and the date is the 5th, which is a Wednesday. Which it took me three times to remember at separate points in this day.
Your Lord is the spaghetti monster.
Yeah, the flying. I'm a Pastafarian, well known, well documented Pastafarian. Meatballs to y'all, or whatever we say.
Time has definitely gotten weird. It's hard to remember dates. When I had my like business insurance job, dates was like very. I knew the date all the time because insurance date of loss, like a date that a claim occurs, is like very important to identifying claims and tracking them through the system. So I knew the date every day. And then I became a person who toured around the country. And there's a dog barking. It's adorable.
Oh my gosh. Sorry. Bama's going nuts.
Bama,
stop.
But then I became a person who toured around the country, and you no longer have dates at that point. You have places. So you'd be like, tomorrow is Birmingham. The next day is Dallas. And then, the day after that is New Orleans. So you don't have dates anymore. You have cities. And now I live in a timeless space where it's just day and night.
Your own desert otherworld.
My own desert otherworld. So this episode, the episode description of this is, it's Fashion Week, Night Vale's hippest event. Who will be spared from the sphere? Plus, ongoing investigations into the disappearances of the shambling orphan housing development, and an update on the Opera House, and an important news announcement. And that's a capital N news announcement.
Let's talk about it.
I love how this episode starts off where Cecil's like, it spells it out from the jump. It's like, we have a big announcement that's coming at the end of this episode, and we're just going to start rip into it now. And then I completely forgot that there was a big announcement by the time we got to the end of this episode.
You know, yeah. I did too. And I was just like, okay, like whatever. Like, but you realize he's alluding to it throughout the entire episode a little bit. It's just, you get a little anxious and scared, especially when it's revealed at the end about what's happening. I guess everyone's listened to it, right? We can blow the
secret. Spoiler alert.
It was 5 years ago, so probably, yeah.
Yeah. If you're listening to this first and then listening to the episode, first of all, thank you for listening. Second of all, you're doing it wrong. Just flip it. So listen to both. Do listen to both. But listen to that first, then listen to this.
Or if you're listening to this because you're part of the government monitoring system and you've never heard of Welcome to Night Vale, but you've been assigned to listen to this podcast to make sure that we're not communists.
We are.
Hi. We are.
Hello. We'll play the Lincolnshire poacher for you. 7-0-4-9-82
But yeah, so huge thing that this is Cecil's last episode in or Night Vale, or this is the next to last, or the next one's going to be his last.
He says he's going to cut. He says he's going to cover the opera story, and then he's out.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a big friggin' deal. But let's tackle that later. Let's talk about fashion. in the year of our Lord Beyonce, mm-hmm. speaking of fashion, Black is King has come out, if you haven't watched it yet, and want to know what exactly fashion is, it's that. From about the middle of the movie, the visual album, I started counting her new outfits, like her costume changes, and I counted 35.
Ooh.
From the middle. Until I got tired of counting. So I was just like, so you just have to go on the roller coaster. Have any of you ever been to an actual fashion week where you sit like on the side of the runway and watch people do it, or been to a fashion show?
I never have.
Symphony.
Yes.
Symphony Nicole Sanders. I'm going to use your full Baptist name. How many shirts do I own?
4, baby. 4 glorious shirts.
To me, like, The Gap is fashion week.
Oh.
The Gap is a store like, oh, I could never dress like that. I'm not that fancy.
Oh, honey.
I also don't weigh 3 pounds. They like skinny gentlemen at The Gap. There's the beefy male cannot find clothing there for himself if he's big and tall.
The beefy woman can't find clothing there either. Things are cut weird there. Like, and also, well, there's the sister company Old Navy, which is, will take all comers. It's just like.
Yeah.
The vanity sizing at that store, bless it.
But like a lot of their stuff is like sewn together with like a whisper and a prayer, you know, it's like one thread that's like, it's basically basting that's holding those clothes together, and you wash it and it's just going to disintegrate in your fucking, in your stuff. But you know what? People keep buying that stuff because it's cheap, disposable mm-hmm. fashion. But we should move away from that. But I've always wanted to go to, I've seen fashion shows before, but never been like at a big one. Do you know what I mean? Like a fashion one.
Like Milan or New York or Paris?
No. I think that would be very interesting. But you have to turn a look to even sit in the audience. You know, you can't just wear like,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Jeans. Well, you can, but they are like $400 jeans.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you need to wear $1,200 shoes with them and a $15,000 handbag.
But in Night Vale, it's a little bit different. There's a sphere that comes around and just tells you or consumes you if you're not of the moment. But if you are, you get to keep going about your day. Michelle Nguyen is never worried, which doesn't surprise me because Kate Jones is a relatively fashionable person as well. She's mm-hmm. the only one of us that owns a damn Birkin bag. I'll tell you that.
Several.
A what?
Birkin bag? Are you familiar with the Birkin bag, Hal?
I know Birkenstocks. Is it similar?
Oh, maybe no.
It's incredibly... imagine the opposite of a Birkenstock.
I can't hear either of you from inside this goddamn sphere.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very expensive bag. Handbag.
Birkin bag.
That, you know, there's only so many that even come out a year, right?
Yeah. And you have to be like on a list in order to get them. And there's like lots of things. They're made by Hermes. And they're like very much a status symbol. It's like a guy buying a Rolex is like a person buying a Birkin bag. It's like it's that like expensive watch, expensive status thing. That's also like it has like a value, so it's like it's an investment piece.
It does accrue value, like it'll be worth well more than what she paid for it in like 10, 15 years. But I would call myself a medium fashion because I personally have a sort of classic style and I have ideas about like what I like and things like that, but I'm not on the edge, the cusp of fashion. I'm not like on the edge of trends. Do you know what I mean? Like it took me a really long time to even change things about the way I, what I like. I'm just stubborn that way in those mm-hmm. things. But if any of our fans out there are fashion designers and would want to design something for any of us fine people, fine bodied people, we will take your free clothes.
That's true.
I'll caveat that. I may take your free clothes.
You're willing to entertain.
I'm pretty particular about what I wear because I have a body that doesn't necessarily conform to the standard fashion. So it's like I have lots of clothing for me is like a source of issue and trauma. So I am like pretty specific about how I dress myself, especially about how I dress myself on stage, because I have to, in order for me to walk out on stage and feel awesome, I feel like I have to really agree that I look awesome. And so getting there is like a level of lots. I have to, there has to be a lot of choice in it for me in order for it to yeah. feel like a safe thing to do. So, yeah, I'm a little bit picky about my clothes. Yeah. Chat me up. I'll tell you, if you are interested, I'll tell you what I like and what works for me and what doesn't work for me. And it's all about fit for me, really.
Yeah. You want like a fit. I don't know what my fashion is because when I'm heavier, I don't like to buy clothes. I'd rather wait until I'm thin to invest. And the last time I was thin, 15 years ago, I remember going with Jennifer to a store. We were looking at stuff. She was like, oh, that outfit looks nice. She was looking at a mannequin. And I was like, oh, wait. She could just buy that and it will fit because she's shaped like a mannequin. Mm-hmm. Like she has the same proportions. I was like, oh, I don't know that experience at all. I don't think most of us do.
Yeah.
And also, I saw one of these fucking bags on a site called List for $94,000 plus $15 shipping. Why would you charge for the shipping? Why are you trying to squeeze? Oh, I couldn't.
Shipping a $94,000 item through a shipping system for $15? That's yeah. a non-starter, man. You want, if you're, you need to place some insurance on that package, you're going to have to spend several hundred dollars, if not thousands of dollars, to ship something that expensive and have it be insured. Anyway.
Your purse is on its way from On Track.
Anyway, fashion.
I think fashion can be accessible for everyone. You just have to have the right cut of things that make you feel comfortable and confident. And I think that's what true personal fashion is about. And I think we find that out even with Cecil, because remember, he didn't even change what he was wearing. And not that he forgot that the day was happening, but he just didn't care. And I think, honestly, that is one of the secrets to true personal fashion, is not caring what other people think about what you're wearing and feeling comfortable and confident in the clothes that you are wearing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True fashionista. And I also love the bizarro shit that Cecil wears. But also, maybe Cecil doesn't care. Maybe Cecil's not caring because it's like, it's like kind of his last day in Night Vale. And he's like, I'm not going to be afraid of a fucking sphere that like eats me for not wearing the right clothes. Like I'm so done with this place.
Yeah. Senioritis, you think? Like,
yeah. I've got one foot out the door and the other foot is wearing leather pants. So.
Yeah. Leather pants and a Hawaiian shirt.
And a hat made of honeycomb, which just sounds sticky.
Yeah. That sounds sticky.
And he slept in that the night before.
I'm like, I just imagine that the inside, because if you've ever worn leather pants, friends, it's warm inside there. It's real, real warm and swamp assy.
I always really wanted leather pants, but they do not make such a thing for my specific proportion. I would have to have them custom made, which is like maybe a bridge too far. I also really like in the late 90s, those like shiny pleather pants.
Oh, yeah.
Anyone? I wanted them so bad.
Yes. I mean, everybody did. But, you know, the problem with those is that they make a lot of sound when you walk and move. Like, no joke. I've worn a lot of pleather latex, lots of leather-like items in my life. It's part of my personal fashion. But sometimes those materials, they make us squeakums, especially if you have thighs that kiss, you know. It's like, wee, wee, wee. So you have to do a dust, a powder or something in there to let it slide. It's weird.
My thighs are 69ing, so it would be really loud if I walked down the street with a pair of those pants on.
Episode 69.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't. I had silk boxers. That's the closest I've come to like luxuriating and it's not. I know it's the kind of the opposite of leather pants, but I didn't. I liked them once. Then I like in washing them, they became dry immediately.
Oh no!
Like I didn't take care of them properly. But also, there was no support, and you need support down there. You need like tighty whities or two.
They were boxers.
Yeah, I became boxer briefs. I'm now boxer briefs all the way. It's got the right support.
I do believe in support. Yeah,
gotta have support.
Yeah, I don't understand like loose fitting boxers. I'm like, what's the point, guy?
Yeah, you're just not. Just don't wear underwear.
Yeah, like you're just trying to have a thin layer of cotton between yourself and your pants. I'm like, it's just
and
not
the world.
And the world, like it's not going to catch any sweat because it'll just. The sweat will just drip down your leg, right? Like it's, I don't know. This is maybe a little graphic for Good Morning Night Vale, but yeah.
Is it?
But fashion. We're talking about clothes and underwear is clothes.
Underwear is clothes. I have an extensive underwear wardrobe. It's mainly postage sized.
Yeah. Your underwear, having done your laundry several many times, is a tiny triangle and three elastics. I can't even, when I'm doing your laundry, I can't even fold them. I just like pile them up.
No, actually, I just got rid of a bunch and like, so now it's just more, it's just a triangle. It's one of those seamless ones.
I like the seamless ones.
Yeah, yeah.
I like a full butted underwear.
You know, I don't think that's, for me, it's not necessary because I am usually wearing leggings, like like workout tights. And I don't like the line on like where it lands on my butt. It usually irritates my skin, especially because I ride a bike a lot. So it just like rubs on the bike seat and I think it's uncomfortable. So I need my cheeks free.
gotta let them bounce.
Free
the cheeks. But now, I have moved into a new level of fashion. It's usually one piece living, either a jumpsuit, as you well know.
Sure.
But now I've added to it caftan. Mm. Caftan life.
Oh, good for you.
It's like you never get out of bed. You're constantly in a sheet, just like free and free flowing. And I just imagine that I'm just dancing around a fire with a glass of wine all the time.
Oh, it's great.
It's a way of life. It's not just fashion.
Yeah, you're like the 70s mom that hosts the parties where all the other parents come.
Yeah.
Keys in the bowl. I would love to wear a caftan. I think that would be a good...
Do it.
Do it.
It's great.
Did they make them in my size for the beefy male?
They will make anything. Yeah. Yeah. They're mostly custom on Etsy are the best ones. The like real fun ones. Yeah. I love it. Personally, I love it. My beach cover up is a caftan and that's really enjoyable. But I love like a flowy dress. No underwear. Just like knock it on. Feel yourself. It's fine. It's great. My recent fashion is that I had my friend has a side hustle that she does custom tie dyeing. And so I had her custom bleach dye me a sweatsuit that I ordered from Old Navy. I ordered a black sweatsuit from Old Navy and then sent it to her house. And she bleach tie dyed it and then sent it to my house.
Have you worn it yet?
Yeah, I wore it yesterday.
Is it comfortable?
It's great. I mean, it's like black sweatpants from Old Navy and a sweatshirt from Old Navy that's just like bleach tie-dyed.
That's awesome.
She's great.
That's great. I love that.
If you want a custom tie-dye outfit, a custom tie-dye anything, she will make it for you.
See, you know I'm that type of nerd that would want to do it myself, though. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Get the rubber bands and the dye.
right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I always get inspired by people like Jessica, who plays Mayor Dana Cardinal on our on Welcome to Night Vale. But she always sews her clothes and things like that. But I, you know, now with this whole caftan lifestyle, it's the easiest sewing.
You just cut a hole.
Yeah, cut a hole in a sheet. Stick your head through it.
Jessica is super impressive, though. She's such a talented seamstress. It's ridiculous, the stuff that she can craft and build. And she makes incredibly beautiful stuff.
Her fashion, again, her personal fashion is very her. And
confident.
Yes, she's confident in what she's wearing. She's chosen. She has a color palette that is complementary to the things she likes. So, you know, that's the type of goals I think people should regular everyday wear. People should aspire to. It's, you don't have to look like you're coming off the runway, but if that's the way you want to look, baby, work it.
Yeah. I think if I had like unlimited money and time and a, like a personal shopper and a personal tailor, I would dress like Moira Rose from Schitt's Creek. That would be my aesthetic.
So you, wait, I'm just imagining you in silk pajamas that have a vest though.
Yeah. I would be a full-on Moira given money and staff.
Oh, I love that.
I want that for you one day.
Yeah. All the wigs, the wall of wigs.
That's fantastic. I, you know, I'm a true believer of wig life, you know, like if yeah. you can be a different bitch every day, do it.
I agree. Even if that day is Catter Day.
Oh, Catter Day. Actually, this whole community calendar is really funny.
They got everything wrong and the aliens have invaded.
Yes.
But it's going to be fine.
But everything's going to be fine. But Catter Day is great. I actually love using the hashtag Catter Day when I'm cat sitting now. I can't use it anymore in my regular life because, you know, I don't have a cat. But I do love Catter Day. It makes me happy. And it's cute.
Yeah. I like that Catter Day is the only day that really draws an aggressive response. Yeah. Every other day that like the aliens are coming, but like Janice Rio from down the street is thrown by Catter Day.
She's like really upset. Thrown. Well, then she's like, will I be forced to enter a strange black cube that will absorb my essence till there's nothing left on me? I'm like, isn't that just the condos?
Condo Day. I also like that Janice Rio from down the street exists, and then Cecil hangs out with his niece Janice, and there's two characters in Night Vale. Both of them are named Janice. It's just an interesting. Yeah. And they're both in this episode.
I literally didn't put that together until right now.
Yeah, it's a two Janice episode.
Double the Janice, double the fun.
I don't know if there's other characters in this, that there's any other repeat names in the show. We can probably put a pin in that and come back to it when we get further in, but I don't think so. So, but two Janices, one episode.
I do love the dynamic that's set up between Cecil and Janice, the niece. That idea that he's like the uncle where they talk about stuff, but he's also not pressuring her. He's giving her space to be like, those are the best aunts and uncles, are the ones that you can talk to who aren't going to pressure you because you get that pressure from parents.
Yeah.
That's something that like,
right,
maybe Steve and Abby wouldn't let go of, that he's like, okay, if you don't want to tell me, that's fine. We'll just watch Cat Baloo for the fifth time. Which now it strikes me that people who did not know Lee Marvin is a real person also don't know that Cat Baloo is an actual film. Mm-hmm. And a very well-regarded one.
Oh.
Oscar winning.
I actually don't think I've seen Cat Baloo.
Well, you should check it out as I wave this gel wrist pad at you.
Carpal tunnel prevention.
Yeah, it does a really good job of doing that when I throw it to the side of this table and don't use it, and then go, my wrists fucking hurt. I know what I'll do. I'll slap my wrists with this thing.
It just sounds like clapping.
Put your hands together.
That's actually Hal twerking.
I'm twerking right now.
Am I cool enough?
Is this okay?
Yeah.
All cheeks out.
Cheeks out.
Cheeks out. Double time.
Oh, man.
That would actually be really impressive.
I have to go to the doctor now.
We also had another traffic segment that was prose, like our poetic prose, that was really interesting.
Joseph wrote as a tribute to the late comedian Harris Whittles.
I don't know who that is.
Oh.
Harris was a comic, did a lot of stuff. Wrote on Parks and Rec, wrote on a lot of TV shows, wrote on Sarah Silverman's show, had a number of podcasts. I'm probably missing. Like, he had from the time he was 20, worked professionally in comedy.
Yeah, he also invented humble brag. That was him.
Yeah. Yeah.
The whole Twitter thing started by him.
Oh.
He gave a lot. In his short time on this earth, he gave comedy a lot. And Joseph was a big fan of his podcasts and was never knew him, but felt really, like when he passed away, he felt the loss. So he wrote this little section and put it in the show for Harris.
That's really nice.
That's really nice. What isn't really nice is the faceless old woman who secretly lives in your home making threats.
That's like turned to 11 at this point. Like it's been dropped in the past couple episodes, but now it is just like straight up, like, I'm gonna come kill you. And
yeah, she's like a mustache twirling villain, like in this one. you want a spectacle indeed. Yeah, you just have to imagine hand wringing and like methodical laughter. But yeah, she did go from like a low level to like really intense, right?
It's just, yeah, it's been happening this whole like season, I guess, is that this plot line is just there. But it's really, yeah, it feels like the foot is all the way down on the gas at this point. And it's like started out being like, we have plans. But like now it's like, these are the plans. We're going to kill the mayor. And Cecil is so later days. Cecil's like, yeah, it's probably someone else's problem. I don't work here anymore.
And even if they did kill the mayor, that isn't necessarily going to make you the mayor. Like, you know, yeah, you could throw a coup, but like, it's still like, yeah, people still vote for it, you know?
That Night Vale logic. It's great. I also love Frank Chen. I love the assumed.
He's just like.
The assumed identity.
It's just so obvious and that it's just ridiculous. And I love it. That first of all, that he has many heads, and nobody is concerned about that. And he keeps saying that he's a human. I feel it's just like so silly that I can't even be mad.
It's so silly, but it's also like with the way that some journalists operate in our world, it's just like, okay. Like, there's no one who's calling Frank Chen on anything. They're not like, wait, let's take a look at this. This doesn't seem right. This doesn't sound right. What he's saying, we're just going to report on it. Like, it feels very of our time where, like, there's things that could maybe benefit our society if they had some investigative journalism thrown at them. Whereas, as opposed to just printing and reporting on things that are obviously not true.
I'm glad that you broached that because I couldn't figure out a way to say it tactfully without being like, these motherfuckers over here. But like, really, like, I feel like everything that they, in quotation marks, say is like, they're like, oh, the Democrats are doing this. It's like, they're actually doing that. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's the first one who says it gets to be the accuser rather than the accused.
Right. It's just so weird because I'm like,
yep.
Is anybody else feel like they're taking crazy pills? Like
all the time.
Yes. Very much feel like I'm taking crazy pills. I feel like a lot of what I've been feeling like lately with the pando, as our friend Aaron McKeown calls it, is how am I working with the same set of information as everyone else? And I'm drawing a completely different conclusion about how to live my life. Like, we have the same info, and yet y'all think it's totally fine to, like, have huge parties and go on trips and, like hang out indoors with your elderly relatives without a mask. Like, you're all just like, yeah, this is fine. And I'm like, we have the same information, right? Like, I'm drawing a completely different conclusion. And so am I the crazy person? Because I feel like I'm alone. Like, it's just.
No, you're not. It's everybody. I mean, I can't go down this rabbit hole.
We're not going to go. We're not turning around. This isn't the home for it. It's going to right back around. But yeah, but it's that like that old quote about journalism where it's like if one person says it's raining and the other person says it isn't, it's not the your job to say this person says it's raining and this person says it isn't. It's your job to put your head out the window and find out if it's actually fucking raining. Like,
yeah,
right.
So no one's doing that on the Cecil's not doing that on the Frank Chen thing.
No, Cecil doesn't care about what's going on right now at all.
He's just going to report that it's Frank Chen and that's fine. Call it a day.
Yeah. And that's that. Exactly.
Well, he's out because he's out. The end of the we get to the end of the episode, and he's is not taken by the orb because radio is this timeless place of always will be in fashion, will always be a la mode. The radio, like, so he's not taken. But then he's like, also, I'm leaving to go work at Kevin's radio station. Bye.
Right, which is strange.
Love makes you do stupid stuff, you know.
And, you know, you're getting a sense that, and we'll be able to dive into this in the next episode as well, but. That he's kind of tired of doing this without Carlos. And, you know, in a way you can't blame him because he is making a choice to go be with the person that he loves and create a new life, right?
Yeah, this is – I kind of want to jump into episode 78, but I know we can't because there's so much here that is mirrored in that next episode, namely the idea that Cecil – is willing to give up career for Carlos. And also the foreshadowing that no matter where you end up, you're still from your hometown, which we get a little piece of in 78. But it is like an interesting, like he's sort of willing to give it up and he's fine with it. And just, he's like, all right, peace out. See you fuckers. Gone.
Right. So quickly when in years past, he's, talked about how what a dedicated radio man he is and how dedicated he is to Night Vale as well. But, you know, everything has its time. And while we already know that that's not what happens or he doesn't stay there. So that's the great thing about being in the future, kids.
Yep. Everyone who's in the future now.
Yep.
People, you're obviously in the future now because it's 2 weeks before this episode airs.
Yeah.
I hope that it's better. And then maybe if you're in the deep future, like if you're like archiving this recording for the government agency that identifies communists in the future. I hope it all works out, you know? That's all I have to say.
Yeah. Up next, we hear from fans and friends of the podcast about their theories, comments, and questions. But first, a conversation about this episode's weather. This episode's weather is Evelyn by Kim Tillman and Silent Films. First of all, my mother's name is Evelyn.
Oh.
Yep, this song's about her?
It is. I love it. I thought it was fun. Not fun, but like it almost seemed cinematic. You know what I mean? Like, I liked that, but also it was a bit of a bop. I was bopping along. I enjoyed it very much. Do you have any information about this group?
I do. I thought that the production was really strong on this song. Like, it felt very professional, very polished, like, very radio ready, very, like, yeah. So I dug it. I thought it was different from what we've been hearing lately on the show, too. Like, it seemed just a different, kind of like a breath of fresh air from our previous weathers. Not that there was anything wrong with our previous weathers musically. Like, I just feel like we're getting a different vibe. And I liked that in this one. So yeah, Kim Tillman, she is a singer-songwriter based in the Bay Area. I believe there's some conflicting information about whether she lives in Los Angeles or the Bay Area, but either way, California singer-songwriter. This, with Silent Films, is a duo project that Kim works on with whoever Silent Films is. And she's prolific. She has a ton of albums. You can find her on the internet. She has an active Twitter presence and Facebook presence. She's not touring right now because no one's touring right now, but she's got songs and she's got merch. And I'd like to probably, like, if a world exists where she could tour again, I'd love to go see her.
Yeah, totally.
I just started following her on Twitter. After when I was doing my book report. But yeah, she seems pretty chill. She makes a lot of music. So has a number of different bands and groups and seems to be a fun career.
That is awesome. Hey, Hal, what did you think of this song?
I liked it. I thought it was good. It's a good piece of music. That was my thought. Sometimes I go deeper. Sometimes I'm like, that was good. I liked it. I'm notoriously ambivalent weather-wise most times in terms of its fit with the narrative. Unless I like really think it like grabs on and I mentally make the connection thematically.
Yeah.
Then otherwise I'm like, that was a good piece of music. I like them. Especially if it's someone I know, I'm like, well, this is great. That always brings it in a special level. I do not know any of these people, but I wish them well in life.
Great.
I had a turkey burger for dinner that I made on the grill tonight, but you know what it wasn't?
What?
It wasn't a calzone.
Nothing ever is.
Oh, I would love a calzone right now.
Me too, but full of fans.
I have the next best thing. It's a fanzone calzone.
Do it.
Stay right there. Good Morning Night Vale will return after a brief break.
So we hear from Nathan writes to us. Hello, Meg, Hal, and Symphony. I hope you're all doing well. I just finished listening to Good Morning Antiques, so I'm still enjoying listening to the before times. My favorite episode of Night Vale has to be episode 69, Fashion Week. For a long time, I was an aspiring fashion designer, and while that didn't come to fruition, I am now chief of staff for an Oregon state senator. Go figure. Ooh. I still very much enjoy fashion. My favorite fashion show is Alexander McQueen's Autumn Winter 2009 show, The Horn of Plenty. Here is a link to some pictures of the show. I will share that link on our Patreon. I share this otherwise tangential information because I imagine that The Horn of Plenty is the kind of haute couture that would be popular in Night Vale. The reference to pedantic philosophers really hit home, too, as the proud holder of a BA in philosophy. Also, I loved this episode's weather. I never skip the weather, though I frequently agree with Hal's assessment in that many of them just aren't my cup of tea. However, as a musician, saxophone, I really respect the artist's work, and I like how the weather plays into the episodes. That said, Evelyn is the first weather I'd ever re-listened to and added to a playlist. Now it's one of my all-time favorite songs. I also think it fits very well within the episode, being a kind of dark, punky song that could be played at a fashion show.
Exactly.
Plus, the lyrics seem to fit the plot of The Sphere and its menace well. You are all great. Thanks for making quarantine easier. Yours truly, Nathan. P.S. I saw A Spy in the Desert in Portland and in Eugene. For your Eugene show, I went with a friend who had never heard of Night Vale because my original plus one couldn't make it. My friend absolutely loved the show, including Dane's opening weather, and remarked afterward how amazingly gay the show was. When Symphony comes into the audience and takes someone on stage, we thought she was going to pick my friend for a second, but ended up picking the person next to her. I still think it would have been amazing if my friend, who was having her first experience with the show, was brought on stage. Let's hope for it next time.
Aww.
Nathan, I'm glad this is your favorite episode. One of the things I love about Night Vale is that everyone has a favorite episode, and it's all usually there's some, you know, standouts, but everyone, like, they're all different. So it's nice that you like 69 Fashion Week. You're the only person who's written to us about how this is your favorite episode. So thank you so much for sharing that. And thank you for, it's so interesting to see what you can learn about a person by what their favorite Night Vale episode is.
I also want to, Nathan's got, can we have Nathan on the show? Nathan's been a fashion designer, has a BA in philosophy, plays the saxophone, and is the chief of staff for a state senator. I have a lot of questions.
Interesting.
And saw A Spy in the Desert twice.
And saw A Spy in the Desert twice. Also amazing. I do. I did want to touch on this. I forgot to do this in the body of the episode. I remember taking philosophy my freshman year of college and being taught, and I can't remember what the idea is, but what the name of it is. But the central concept is that the three of us could eat a piece of chocolate, and we could each describe it as sweet and rich, but have no way to verify that what you think is sweet and rich and what I think is sweet and rich is the same thing. And that blew my mind, and I told everybody about it like I was teaching philosophy. So that idea of like when your mind is blown, you're like, well, I can't wait. I am 18 years old, and everybody's going to lose their damn minds when I tell them this stuff that they all know because they are adults. Like, I remember that excitement, even just taking two philosophy courses total. So that kind of struck a chord with me.
Yes, thank you for writing in, Nathan. But also, I took a look at the Alexander McQueen collection, the Autumn. It's wild, and I love it. And yes, exactly. I think this would be very fashionable in Night Vale. It's just so interesting, the way they did the makeup, and it's like all very, it's like dark, but I don't know. It's like cool. Like, it's, there's lots of houndstooth, crazy hats.
Yeah.
Things like that. The makeup is wild. The lips are wildly overdrawn and a little like, not clownish, maybe sometimes looks a little clownish, but it's like you're literally putting on a face. So it's very interesting.
It feels like look number 7, for those of you who are patrons, is the supervillain who locks you up in their lair and is able to lower you into a tank full of sharks. But then look number 8 swings in through a window and saves you. And there are a bunch of look number 9s who are the hench people.
Yes, I love that.
And that's very frightening. It's very frightening for me. It's kind of traumatic to look at. But I'm glad that there are people enjoy. I'm happy for all of you who enjoy it. I am a scared. Leanne of Leanne's 80 Headcanons writes with a question. So I just had my 20th birthday. Oh, happy birthday. And I was thinking of you guys. How's life? I know everything is so topsy-turvy right now. And that is the whole thing of it. Well, I'll tell you. Today in particular is a weird day. This is the 12th anniversary of my mother's sudden death. And this is the first year, because of everything that is happening in the world, that I felt completely numb. And I don't know if that's guarding myself from that pain, which feels like it's been continual for the last 12 years, or if it's my mind is so dulled with everything going on because I'm hyper. Like, my therapist is basically like, you have to go outside and walk.
Yeah.
For your mind. So today was the 8th straight day I've gone out to walk for at least a half an hour. And it's great. But also, I notice every single person who doesn't wear a mask and like runs by going, and it's very stressful. I think there should be general runner etiquette that if there's someone with a mask, that you, the person without the mask, must move as far as possible to another side.
Yeah.
Because I take the mask off if I'm not near people. When I see them nearby, I put it on.
Sure.
And then pass them. But these people in a populated area where there are always people running have no – like just like push through like with an entitlement that is very upsetting. That's where I am mentally. What about the two of you?
I'm there's part of me that's very grateful that I am healthy and feel physically good. But the dumpster fire that is the rest of our country, that makes me very sad. How I always get increasingly sad when I see injustice and people being treated poorly. And that's happening in spades these days. So, you know, I'm trying to stay positive, but it's tough. But other than that, I'm good. So, like I said,
I'm an incredibly lucky person. I have a roof over my head. I have a partner that I love, that we have a great life together. I have a family that's terrific. So all of those things, it's just like that feels great to wake up to every day. A thing I've been having lately for me is that so much of my identity is tied to my profession, and not being able to work. Like, I'm a person who used to work 15, 20 hour days for 8 days in a row, like regularly. Right. That was my jam. That was the best. Symphony, you were out there with me. That was our shit. We just we hustled really hard and we felt like we were doing something good, seeing an audience every night and make people happy and, you know, putting art out in the world. And that felt really awesome. And without that every day, like without that future, without that, it's, I really kind of lost some identity. And it's, it becomes this thing where it's like, okay, do I start over? Do I find another job? I feel like I'm like kind of waiting for my industry to come back, but I don't know if it will. And also like, I need a purpose in life. And it's like, there's, the world has so much need right now for people to be out there doing good things, but I'm so afraid to go out in the world. Like, it's like, I could go be a bartender and like, that would make me happy to just go hang out with people every night and pour drinks. But that would be so terrifying and dangerous. Like, it's
right.
There's just no, yeah, I just don't know. I'm like, I don't know what to do with myself or my life, but I have the luxury that like, I get to wonder about that. I'm not just like, okay, well, I have to go out and make money for my family right now. Like I,
right.
So it's, yeah. It's something that I'm feeling and experiencing. It's not a bad thing. It's like, I'm, you know, happy and safe, but it's definitely something that I'm going through. But Leanne, happy birthday.
Yeah. Happy birthday, girl.
Happy birthday.
One of the things that makes things good is that I get to hang out, that this production of this show has not changed at all.
And yes. Yeah. That we get to hang out together is a, for lack of a better word, a blessing.
Yes.
It is a wonderful thing to get to hang out with people that we care about very deeply and talk about something that we also care about very deeply.
Yeah.
And we get to hear from you guys.
Yeah.
Next up, I have Kylie. Kylie writes, hi. First off, I want to take a moment and tell you guys that I love all of you, and Good Morning Night Vale has got me going back and re-listening to the show, and it really makes me feel nostalgic because I've had some amazing friends because of us bonding over the show, and it's just a fun time overall. Anyway, can we talk about ceaseless fashion? I believe the first time we get to hear about how super hip and trendy Cecil is in First Date, where he describes what he's wearing as my best tunic and fuzzy pants. I loved this. Up until this point, the community basically depicted Cecil as this really well-dressed guy in a waistcoat. Ever since that episode, my friends and I have made it our goal to try and change this idea to the point we started a blog. It's called Shit Cecil Palmer Would Wear. .tumblr.com. Aside, I've actually seen this site before and I love it and I think it's actually quite appropriate. Anyway, it's dedicated to the strange fashion that we would imagine Cecil wearing. Whenever we go thrift shopping, we without fail find one or two things that we are too afraid of wearing in real life, but we know someone in Night Vale would rock it without question. My favorite headcanon is that on lazy Saturdays at home with Carlos, Cecil likes to lounge around the house wearing neon yellow briefs and see-through vinyl pants with his favorite unicorn sweater. Also, that Carlos is always wearing a rainbow glitter lab coat without ripped off sleeves, because why not? Keep up the good work. Looking forward to hearing your next episode, Kylie. Aw, thanks, Kylie. I do enjoy the headcanons that people have for Cecil Palmer's wardrobe. And I think it's, you know, it could be spot on at any point. Basically anything weird. If you go to this site, there's like pumpkin shoes and a My Little Pony jacket, which is actually, I think, very appropriate.
The pumpkin shoes reminded me of the tour pumpkin.
Blumpkin?
Oh.
Blumpkin, yeah.
Blumpkin.
I think did I lose Blumpkin? No, I took care of Blumpkin.
No. Blumpkin was gifted to the final mink.
Oh.
During that tour.
Oh, Blumpkin the tour pumpkin. But everybody has to watch. That's like the rule, which I found out because I was only there for like the last week, was somebody has to
take care of.
You have to watch Blumpkin, and then you have to add to Blumpkin's look. Blumpkin has an evolving, much like Fashion Week.
Very much.
Blumpkin has an evolving look. I forget what I added, but Blumpkin was already well established by the time I got there, like full on.
Yeah.
Blumpkin had lips, really nice eyes, a nose ring, and like multiple piercings.
Eyeshadow,
tattoos.
The first day of tour, Symphony and I went to Whole Foods to get dinner. And we bought a pumpkin, and we, on our walk home from the walk back to the venue from the Whole Foods with the pumpkin, decided that the pumpkin had to be brought to the show every night and taken into the hotel every night. It was not allowed to be left in the van, and that each person would have to do it every day. And there was this a rotational schedule that was assigned.
I think it worked out well. There were trials and tribulations.
Sure, growing pains.
I think as with any co-parenting situation that you would have, but
there was a night that I definitely thought I left him at the venue. And I freaked out. I was like, I'm so fucking sorry, Symphony. I'm so sorry. And you're like, I have him.
You did. I'm like, no, I got him, Meg. you're a bad dad that day.
I was like literally pulling into the hotel and being like, oh my God, I forgot the fucking pumpkin.
Nope. He was snuggled in bed with mama. Please think about me snuggling with a pumpkin in a Hampton Inn bed, everyone.
Let that be your dreams.
Let that be in your dreams. And thank you very much for listening to us and being there for us and just asking us on your 20th birthday, how the heck are you? We really appreciate you all, whether you're a patron or not. If you haven't had an opportunity to, and you have, and you've got it, we would love for you to help support this show, to help us bring you more amazing content like talking about Blumpkin the Pumpkin and our own individual fashion sense. Our next episode is called Taking Off. But until then, good morning, Night Vale. Good morning.
Good Morning Night Vale is a Night Vale Presents production. It is hosted by Symphony Sanders, Hal Lublin, and Meg Bashwinner. It is edited by Grant Stort and mixed by Vincent Cascione. It is produced by Meg Bashwinner. Theme music by Disparition. Special thanks to our fans who submitted their thoughts this week. Leave us a voicemail at 929-277-2050 or email us at info@goodmorningnightvale.com to share your theories and ask questions or tell us about what it is like to eat a peach so good that you question why you would ever eat anything else. This show is powered by our patrons like Melinda Mathey, Matthew DeBettencourt, Estrella Romero, Elizabeth Jackman, and Danielle Atunes. If you are interested in supporting this show in exchange for lots of fun, exclusive, hyper cool kid content, check us out at patreon.com/goodmorningnightvale. For more info on this show, go to goodmorningnightvale.com and follow us on Facebook and on Twitter at Night Vale Chat. Special thanks to Joella Knapp, Jeffrey Craner, and Joseph Fink. Today's adverb is now. Now is the time for our women to begin to try to lift up their heads and plant the roots of progress under the hearthstone. A quote from Frances Ellen Watkins Harper, African-American suffragist and abolitionist.
Hey, y'all, it's Jeffrey Craner. So I do another fiction podcast called Within the Wires, which are stories told through the guise of found audio. Each season is a separate tale. You want a prison escape told through relaxation tapes? That's season one. Want a love story that unfurls through voice messages only? Season five. How about the revelations of an unexplained death told through a series of museum audio guides? Season two. There are seven seasons of Within the Wires for you to binge right now, each only 10 episodes long. So go get Within the Wires wherever you get your podcasts. From PR.